iOS 17 and Apple Vision Pro. Hello, lovely people. WWDC happened last week and we have decided not to cover the entire event because one of us got some hands-on experience with
iOS 17 beta.
Oh, yeah. So, long story short, do you recommend it?
Not for everyone. Unless you like to live on the edge, long story, don't.
Okay, we're going to dive into that in the first half of the episode. And in the second half, we're going to talk about the Apple Vision Pro.
So, I've had the pleasure and the courage to install the latest iOS 17 beta, which is available to anyone who signs up with the developer account and it shows up on your phone. This is not something I would recommend to anyone unless you really want to test out the latest things. And you're also going to have a buggy experience. But here are some of the features I've tested that they presented. And I will also mention the bugs in the end when we start wrapping up the iOS segment.
Just a question before
features,
we kick in.
Yeah.
Just a quick question before we kick in. Did you install this on your personal phone or on your backup phone and why?
I installed it on my main phone, even though everyone recommended against. But this is a tester's life, right? If I wouldn't be QA, I wouldn't probably do it. And I just wanted to do it as soon as possible since I have the iPhone. I really wanted to see how it's like. So yeah, without further ado, let's go through what they presented and what I've tested and how it is. The first one is call posters. It's a beautiful thing that Android has had for probably 17 decades. It's a poster that you can put a background of a person or an emoji of someone. So when they call you, you see them. It's pretty easy to set up if you know where to go. So this one might trigger, the next one might trigger everyone that has an iPhone. So please bear with me. Hey Siri is now just renamed to Siri. And my activated. So this is a nice feature. Both of them work. So yeah, you don't have to do anything. Both of them will work out of the box.
Dude, did they manage this on the event itself? This is a great question, I think. But in the event itself, they had like thousands of people. And when they said, hey, you can now use instead of how did they prevent from triggering everybody's iPhones? Wow.
That's a real good question. I would imagine either they took everyone's phones. You mentioned that on MKBHD Waveform podcast, they said that they used geolocation for disabling everyone. That would be really, really scary.
I think there was a short discussion about the idea. I think that there was a short discussion about the idea. How did they prevent this? And if they just disabled Siri for everybody at the event somehow? No idea. Sorry, I jumped in.
Yeah, that's a really good question. So the next one is standby mode. So when your phone is charging and connected to MagSafe, I think you can use it as a nightstand. So it displays all of the important vital information you want it to display. However, I could not get this to work for me just yet. Maybe I'm an exception, but it doesn't work, so I couldn't test it. Next one,
Or maybe you need a special stand, which will cost $2.99 to use the standby mode.
Well, I'm not getting it. I'm not that fan of standby mode or always on displays, so I'll skip, I guess. The next one is improved autocorrect and finishing sentences. So for those of you who have used Gmail in the past, you see that when you're mid-sentence, you can just finish it or press tab for it to finish. Over here, it's something similar. You press the space bar and it finishes your sentence. And mind you, it's kind of accurate. And it really suits me that I can just also use the same experience as I have on Gmail on the messaging app. Improved interactive widgets. Now, this one is a buggy one. I'm a big fan of reminders and using the reminder widgets. And for now, on the lock screen, the reminders don't do anything for me. I click them, it just like blinks. It's not something, again, we're using the iOS 17 beta, so it's not completely there, I guess. And this is the first version.
Well,
they
will have to figure it out in the next couple of months before the official release.
Yep, they still have a way more months, and maybe we'll write a follow-up version with the next beta. Jumping into the next one is not available yet for anyone until the end of the year. It's the journaling app. This was supposed to be like kind of like a diary. And prior to the event, it was stated by someone, I'm not sure who, that it won't be end-to-end encrypted, and there were red flags. And on the event itself, they said this is going to be end-to-end encrypted. So they kind of settled down on that one. Next one is also connected to
Mac. End-to-end encryption was... you went a bit further. Did you notice that the end-to-end encryption was kind of a theme for the entire event, especially with the animated logo? Now I'm just digging through my recap of the event. It was there all the time. I mean, you always saw the Apple logo changing into a lock, and they were saying, yeah, this is not going to be end-to-end encrypted. I actually like that a lot.
I also like that, and iOS and Apple in general has always been really secure oriented. So I would really expect nothing less from them. And that's also a really good perspective that I love from the Apple. The next one I wanted to mention is also messages, and iMessages. It really bothered me that you had this non-removable toolbar with our sort of, you know, GIFs, stickers, memojis that you could always use, and now it's neatly hidden behind like a little plus, and it pops up a menu with all those. And I'm not sure this why I'm most excited. One of the most things I'm excited about, it's so much cleaner, it's so much better. I don't click the toolbar by accident anymore. Yeah. Jumping to the next one is the health app and mood tracker. And I've never used this before, and I decided to give it a try now. So in the health app, I turned on the mood tracker, and it pings me twice per day, and it asks me, like with this awesome slider, how I feel. And after you tell it, it asks you, okay, are you peaceful, joyful, irritated? And it gives you a list of things that you check. I'm not sure how this will transpire through time, but I'm interested to see like what the conclusion will be after 1 month of me tracking my mood. Another exciting is...
That could be an amazing burnout detection, because the first symptoms of burnout show as moodiness, tiredness, unproductiveness. If you would get an alert for that, and then you could, I don't know, do an upsell link to some therapist or something. Come on, that would be useful at the same time.
I actually love that.
At the same time, kind of worrisome at the same time. Apple, call me.
I love that. Hit Big G up. Okay, so the next one is audio recordings that get transcribed. So a lot of the time in iMessages, someone would send you an audio recording and you would have to play it. And now you have the whole transcription under the audio file, so the other party does not have to listen to your recording, but it's easier for you to record. So they just read your message. Next one. Yeah, go ahead.
Dude, that's another concern of mine here. So we are transitioning into a state of society where it's more acceptable to send messages than to call. This is a next step in that transition. Now, even if somebody calls, you won't pick up because, you will get a message.
Yes.
Does that mean that we're coming to an era without phone calls?
I don't know. I still sometimes prefer phone calls because it's easier than, you know, writing back and waiting and writing back and waiting. So like for quick actions, the calls I think are still the best.
I have a prediction for WWDC 2030, and they will have one more thing. We canceled the phone app.
Oh boy. I hope not. I hope you're wrong on that one. I'm willing to bet on that one. Okay. The next one, in the previous version of iOS, they kind of implemented this live cutting of the photo. So you had a photo and let's say Gasper was on the background, and I just wanted to click you out. I just long pressed you and I could copy that image. Now they have a new functionality to add a sticker. So in messages, I could paste this image I cut out of you and you would be my new emoji. And I could use your emoji for every situation. Like past 7-8 streams ago, there was a you drinking a shot of something on stream and I would use that for every situation possible that, you know, required kind of a stress situation. Yes.
During this, and... I did a bunch of movements that are, well, candidates for a new GIF.
Okay. The next one I haven't tried yet is the airdropped contact sharing. So if, you know, AirDrop is kind of a native Mac OS, iOS, iPad OS sharing functionality. It's like Bluetooth only faster. And if both parties have it enabled and one has a contact open, you can easily share it by putting the phone one above the other. Additionally, connected with SharePlay, we could also listen to the same music or watch the same movie on the phone while we introduce our phones together for the first time. And one of the last things I also have not tried, but I really like, is password sharing. You can create a group for a set of accounts and you can share them with anyone in the group. And you can also remove anyone from the group at any time. There's also a lot of other bunch of smaller improvements, like for the music. Well, I can't report since I use Spotify, the TVs, and a bunch of other smaller things. But in retrospect, this is like the biggest subset of features, and most of them are tested. And just for the end, I want to say, yes, that the signal bar sometimes stretches out weirdly. My battery life is worse since after every larger update, the phone needs to be recached and it takes a couple of days for the phone battery to come back completely. The volume sliders sometimes don't wake up the screen. In general, the whole experience is a bit more sluggish. So again, do not install it unless you're really dying to try out some of these features.
If you are QA by nature, please install iOS 17 beta.
Yes.
So yeah, long story short, a bunch of new features. I would have to say that on Android, we kind of had some of those for a while, or at least a variation of that. But all in all, it seemed that Apple is making a great leap forward in the entire user experience, especially when you're inside of their ecosystem. A bunch of features that we see here, like, okay, AirDrop contact sharing, I know it's easy to pick on that one, but password sharing, we've got this with other apps as well. So I feel like they're taking some of the ideas from other apps, let's say 1Password, LastPass, maybe from some health apps, and just sticking them into their ecosystem, which I'm not saying is bad, but kind of expected. All in all, for people who are using the entire ecosystem, meaning you've got the iPhone, you've got the Mac, you've got the AirPods, you've got the Apple Watch, at the end you will have the new goggles. This will be, I think, in the long run, an amazing experience if you're going to be inside the ecosystem.
I am.
I'm going to make a sticker out of you. This position was... Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
Let's move on.
Let's jump in the other half of the episode. So in the first one, we covered something that we, at least 50% of us, had a hands-on experience. And now we're going to start talking about the thing that neither of us has any experience. One of us has a little bit of experience with a similar product, but definitely not with this one. Apple Vision Pro. In our notes, you wrote,
oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It was more like, oh boy, oh boy. It's it's a wild one. It's a wild one coming from Apple.
It was not only enthusiastic call, it was also some worry in there. Am I getting that right?
Check out the price tag. I mean, yeah, kinda.
I think it's kinda normal. Come on, it's Apple.
Yeah, no, it is.
Okay, what's Apple Vision Pro? Give us an intro.
So in the shortest terms It's an AR headset, basically a standalone computer, augmented reality first before virtual reality, which is kind of a the opposite of what, I don't know, Quest 1, 2, and upcoming 3 are. It has two chips. One of them is the M2 chip, which is the same chip that we use in the Mac lineup and is the main chip that handles all the processing. And the R1 chip is the second chip. It's R1, responsible for all the information that's coming from the cameras, sensors, and microphones. It's able to stream images to the displays within 12 milliseconds. And Apple said that this chip is able to provide a virtually lag-free view of the world.
This will be very interesting to test. I'm looking forward to the day when I will be able to just put them on and, well, see how that works. So let me know when you're going to buy them. And we're going to do a live session for that. But you have high expectations. Deal. You had a chance of testing the Oculus, right?
Yes, the Oculus Rift 2. I had the pleasure of testing it in a friend of mine in Barcelona. It was an amazing experience. It was mostly done standing up with those glasses, which kind of scanned the whole environment. And even within the games, you could feel the sense of space that in the room that you're already in, like with borders and stuff, so you don't bump into things. Watching 3D videos was also a blast, wink. And the whole experience was just mind-blowing for someone that has used the headset for the first time. It was really mind-blowing. And I want to touch on a small comment that I watched a podcast recently with Lex Fridman and Mark Zuckerberg. And Lex asked Mark, hey, what do you think about Apple's Vision Pro? And he said that he's really, I'm not quoting him word by word, that he's really happy that Apple has reassured entered the market, which shows that the mass population is kind of ready for this type of thing. And that most of users will probably run away from the price tag and go to the new Oculus Rift 3 or Meta 3 or Quest 3 or however they're going to name it, which has a 7 times cheaper price at like $399, and that he's really excited that we are moving in that direction. Although he said that there's a main difference between what Apple is providing and what their new product is about to solve. So he said Apple's goggles or Vision Pro is mainly focused on sitting down and working, while ours is about standing up and moving around, including fitness or playing games. And Apple Vision Pro headset did not basically mention any gaming of the sort.
I think you're onto something right here. I think we will have a difference of two use cases. One use case will be for entertainment purposes, because if I just want to watch a video, a movie, I want to be immersed in it, I think Oculus or the Quest does the job perfectly. If I want to play a game, again, perfectly. But yeah, for working, if this will be an evolution of our office work in the next 10, 15, 20 years, this might be it. Although it raises some questions. I was thinking about the examples that they showed on a demo, and they showed a person wearing the Apple Vision Pro doing a phone call or a video call to some of the people. And you could clearly see them because all of the people on the call were using, I guess, iPhones or Macs or something, and you saw their video. What are they going to show for a person that's using a headset? Because I know that they are projecting the eyes. I know that they can put your face on outside of the screen, either in transparency mode or in the full ICU mode. But that's on the brink of uncanny valley. If you're familiar with this, this is a concept where technology becomes, it too much resembles the real human body, human interaction, human way of moving around, and it scares people. It triggers their defense mechanism, and people get, well, weird feelings about it. So what are you going to show on the other end of the stream? So for example, if you're now using the Apple Vision Pro, will I see just a slightly weird variation of you, which, let's be honest, is already weird, but...
Wow, okay, thank you.
Sorry, had to squeeze this one in. It was just so easy.
Okay, fine. I'll remember this one.
So the question is, what do you think? Is that going to be useful or not? Or they just need to do some development on that as well?
I would guess that at some point in the mid to long-term future, it's not going to be recognizable that you're AI generated. So what they do right now, the cameras scan you, and while you have the goggles on and other people can actually see like whole of you, it looks like you said, like this uncanny image of something not being completely real, also with the eyes. And also MKBHD commented that it's a little bit, it feels off when he was trying this live. So I think they will be able to fix it. And the suggestion was just use an emoji version of me, which is Apple's feature, that the emoji looks like you, and that it would be more fun and less weird.
Yeah, but if you used Zoom for the past 2 years, a couple of months, let's say half a year, they have an option of avatar beta, and it can actually transform you into an avatar. It's usually an animal or something, but it mimics your way of movement. It feels kind of silly to be a mouse on a serious work-related meeting. And when I'm meeting with friends, come on, I still don't
You have friends?
Mouse, even if I'm weird.
Okay.
Okay, I've got you. Oh, this is getting way out of hands. Dude, we'll have to wrap up this episode. Otherwise, we're just going to slump. It will be amazing. Considering that this is the first version that they presented, I'm looking forward to, I don't know, a couple of next WWDCs and see what they are going to show as the next use case. And I'm looking forward to you buying this so I can test it.
Maybe I won't, but as you said, this has gotten way out of hand. And if you appreciate us covering, and if you appreciate Gasper insulting me, give us a like, subscribe, and we'll catch you in the next one.
And I promise I will insult him off camera as well. See ya, people. Thank you, and have a good one.